got a few gaps today, haven't we? I'm glad you people came. It would have been not so good. Glad you're here. Thank you, Lord. God is good
all the time.
All the time. That's the truth. Absolutely the truth. And we found out I am greater than. I'm greater than your problems. I'm greater than what's been happening this past week. Way greater than. And, you know, it's great. There's been a pulling together of the nation and love and in unity. Would have loved to have seen the name of Jesus uplifted a bit more than it was, but praise God. God is greater than. And I know a lot of believers were praying at 1:30, declaring the name of Jesus over this nation, because this nation belongs to him. Nobody else but to Jesus Christ. God promised him. He said, I give you the nations for your inheritance. And he's also promised us a very thing. And so as believers, we believe this nation belongs to Jesus Christ. It's his land. It's his nation. And we are founded on Christian roots, foundations. Isn't that right? So let's not forget it. Encourage other people if they're a bit, you know, get a bit confused about things. This is a Christian nation. We absolutely are a Christian nation. And Jesus Christ is Lord over New Zealand. He is the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. You're amazing. You're a wonderful Father. You are the great I am. And the great I am is greater than. So, Father, we just thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you will have your way in our nation. Your blessing hearts, you're bringing healing and wholeness, Father God, to people's lives that have been so upended and destroyed and hurt and harmed, Father. You're bringing total healing, Father, throughout our land. You will bring unity, Father, by your Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, true unity in the Spirit, Father God. So we thank you for it. And we're just so grateful, Father. We're so grateful that you are the merciful God. You have love for all creation. You love it, Father. You love everyone. You love this whole world. And, Father, we just thank you for it. And we thank you that Jesus Christ, he came and paid the price for every man, every woman, every child. Lord, that whosoever would believe on his name shall be saved. So, Father, we just pray there's a great awakening and a revival in this nation, that many, many, many hearts are turned towards you, Father, that you appear to those who don't even expect you to appear to them in places you wouldn't expect, that Jesus, you'll just turn up throughout our land. You'll just go visit churches, visit places of worship, mosques, visit wherever, Father God, wherever people are worshipping what they think is right, Father, that your Spirit will appear, Father God. The Holy Spirit will turn up. Jesus, you will turn up because, Father, we just believe this whole nation can be saved. The whole nation. So, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We are here to fight the good fight. Amen. Amen. Fight the good fight. Started this last week and we actually ended up having quite a bit of fun, didn't we? So it might be a bit more serious today, but I never know. Just leave it to God. Sometimes a spirit of funniness or something comes on me, and which is good. Laughter's good. Fun is good. Fun is very good. God wants us to have fun. He's not boring. He's not boring at all. God wants us to have fun and to enjoy life. And sometimes things can get so heavy, can't they? So down on us. But, you know, he wants us to take time out just to have some R&R and have some rest and have fun. Is that right? Yeah. So that's good. You can smile at me. Some good. We got some smiles there. Some are so serious. No, let's just... It's amazing, actually. When you smile, it does something to your brain, which does something to your body. Do you know that? That's the truth. That's the truth. There's something when somebody smiles, it releases something in your brain. See, God knows what he's doing when he made us. So that's why you need to smile. My mum would always have a smile on her face. And I think I've caught that, and my sister's caught that. We sort of tend to go around smiling. Isn't that right, Amy? Don would have me on, yeah. I know what he used to say to Amy. Amy would be sitting there in the car, and they'd wait for me to come out wherever I was. And Don would say, just watch mum. Watch her. Yeah. Yeah, he said, Amy, smile quick, because, you know, I'll come out and I'll have a smile on my face. And I could even go out of dentist and have a smile on my face. Might be a bit lopsided. But, you know, smiling is good. You know, people, it cheers people up, eh, Warren? Yeah. You know, it does, doesn't it? When a smile, I tell you what, it does something to people, doesn't it? You know, go down the street. You know, I'm always smiling at people. And I'm probably thinking, what's she smiling at? Well, I'm just smiling at you. And have a nice day, you know. Go around with a smile on your dial, okay? And you'll feel happier, and you'll make other people happy. Amen? Yeah. So, praise the Lord. So, anyway, I'm going to talk about the part two, fight the good fight. Last week I shared how Satan, he has strategies as to how we can get us down, how he can trip us up and defeat us, because he wants us to be ineffective and powerless. He doesn't want us to be effective for the kingdom of God at all. He wants us to be powerless. And but, you know, God wants us to be powerful. This is time to be powerful. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, you can talk to me today. Cheer me up, you know, just cheer me up. Okay. So let's have Ephesians 6:11 talks about put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, you know, we went through last week about the armor of God and how we need to put on the armor. And if you weren't here or you didn't hear it, you know, go onto our website and go. You can hear the message online. But we had to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So we can stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. He's out to trick us. He's got methods. That word comes from methodia in the Greek, and it means methods. He plans, he strategizes, has methods, and it talks about also trickery, that he lies in wait. He lies in wait to trick us to believe his lies. And if we take on his lies, then he can have control of our lives, and he will bring destruction to our lives. And so, you know, he strategizes how to bring us down. And God doesn't want the body of Christ to be down. He wants us up all the time. Yeah, you can have your sad moments and you can cry, like Gwen's very good at crying, eh, Gwen? Not necessarily when you're sad, though, eh? When you're happy. She cries when she's happy. She's different. Yeah. If Gwen's crying, she's probably happy. Oh. Hey, Gwen, is that right? That'd be a fair enough statement? Good. I've known Gwen a long time, eh, Gwen? Long, long time. Yeah, I was just a little girl when I met her. I have, way back when we first moved back from Australia, I met Gwen, and I'm not saying. It's a long time ago. I will say that Amy was a baby, so there you go. But I met Gwen, and she, right from that time, God spoke to her, actually, really early on, that she was to pray for Donna, support our ministry, eh, Gwen? Yeah, right back in the early days. So there we are. So I'm still young. Cool. Thank you. All right, then. So I want to talk about the number one way the enemy will try and harm us and make us powerless and ineffective. And it is the word, it's a four-letter word, begins with F. Fear. Fear. He lies in wait, and our junior, some might have, minds might have gone in other places then, but I just to see how holy you all were. Okay, fear. That's his number one way he will attack the body of Christ. You know, we're going through life and he just waits for that moment ready to strike us with fear. And suddenly you've got, you know, you get a call or something happens and then next minute your mind has been bombarded. Have you ever had that? Bombarded with all these negative thoughts. And it's fear. And you know, God is not, he's not a spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. So if you suddenly find yourself thinking fear thoughts, and you're anxious and like that, you know it's not God. You need to pull yourself up, say, hold on a minute. What spirit is making me feel like this? Satan, I'll not fall to your traps. I'm not going to listen to your lies. I'm going to listen to what God has to say to me, what the Spirit of God has to say about me. All right, so that's his number one way he will come. And you it could be lies about your kids. It could be lies about your finances. Even what's been happening in our nation, you know, fear would want to try and come on people. But we're not going to fear. We do not fear. Because God is here. Absolutely. God is here, and we don't have to fear. And remember, he is greater than. He's greater than whatever is coming at you and whatever the enemy is speaking at you. So fear is an enemy. It's an enemy. And it's the enemy of faith. It's the opposite of faith. And faith causes the law of the spirit of life to work for us, but fear will cause the spirit of sin and death to work against us. And that's why, you know, God says, you know, not to fear. Don't fear. Fear not. Fear not. How many fear nots? 365? One for every day of the year. Fear not. Fear not. Because that's the Satan's number one way he can get at us and bring us down. Where does fear strike? Strikes your mind, doesn't it? But Satan, as I say, it will strike your mind, but Satan's ultimate goal is to get it in your heart. Get it right down in here. So that thing is a stronghold over your life. And, you know, there are many believers with strongholds of fear over their lives. And God doesn't want that there. He wants that fear broken. He doesn't want you suffering with fear and being anxious and concerned and tormented. See, it talks about fear being torment. It's a tormenting thing. It's a tormenting spirit to come, who will come against us. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down arguments, interesting word, it's also imaginations. You start to imagine things. You know, all of you have, you know, had children and they grow up, but they get to the teenage stage and they go out and then they'll be home at such and such a time. And when they don't turn up, what happens? You start to imagine things. You start to imagine the worst. What if? You know, what if they've had an accident? What if something's happened? Isn't that right? So we've got to cast down arguments or imaginations. Cast them and say, no, I'll not think that. Father, you know, and then you get that word, you get the word of God, and you start speaking. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I have a powerful spirit. I am born of the Spirit of God. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but power. I have the spirit of love on the inside of me, and love casts out fear. Amen? Love casts out fear. And I have a sound mind. You know, you put your hand on your head and say, Lord, I have a spirit of a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I have not got fear in my mind. I'll not tolerate fear in my mind. Fear, get out in the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay. So then we cast down every argument and imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, against whatever exalts itself against what you know God is, who God is. God is good, God is great, God is for us, he's not against us. He's our protector, he's our healer, he's our deliverer, he's our almighty God, isn't he? Yeah. And so we take, so if anything exalts itself against that, say, nope, not having that. Bringing every thought into captivity. Every thought into captivity, just say, not having those thoughts. And I'm going to bring my thoughts and make them captive to Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to make them captive to your Lord and Savior. Lord, I'm not going to think like that. That is not from you. I'm not going to think those thoughts. I'm filled with your spirit. I'm filled with your power. I have your word in my heart. It's my shield. And you speak that word, it's your shield. The shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. Amen? And you know, really, your helmet is that, is what we read in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's the helmet is when you cast down arguments and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking captive every thought. That's the helmet. That's the helmet of salvation right there. That's the helmet in action, okay? So, you know, Jesus said, fear not, little ones. See, isn't that sweet, you know? He loves us. It's sort of an endearment statement. Fear not, little ones. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. It gives him great joy to give us the kingdom. You know, everything that's wonderful and good about God's kingdom, life, healing, peace, joy, freedom, justice, all these things. It gives God pleasure for us to have all of that in our working for us. So Satan, he watches us. He watches our lives. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. And like any good strategist would, he manipulates circumstances and watches our progress or our lack of it. He watches how we react to things. And then, you know, and he's watching. And then when he thinks he's got a good moment, a good chance, he'll strike. So that's why we need to, you know, it says put your armor on. Don't take it off. You put it on. Even when you go to bed, you've got it on spiritually. You've got your shield of faith. You know, you've got your breastplate of righteousness on. You've got your helmet of salvation on. You've got all of these wonderful things. So let's not be weak. Let's be strong. Be strong in the word of God. Be strong in worship of God. Be strong in who you are. You're a son, you're a daughter of the Most High God. And God is for you, not against you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He shows mercy upon you. He shows great mercy and great goodness. Okay, so just let's be careful. When something happens, what comes flooding at your mind? Be ready to guard your mind. Cast down all imaginations. All the stories that are going on in your head, cast them down. Get your word out. Or if you can't, you know, we need to have a word really in our heart, rather than having to always, oh, what's a good word? I need a good word for that. You know, we need to get, that's why we need it in our heart, so that it will come up straight away. It's pretty hard. You know, sometimes you may not have your Bible with you. But if it's in here, you've got it with you. So that's why it's important. Please get the word in your heart. Find some good scriptures. If you're going through a hard time, write things out. Look it up. Find it. Write things down. Get it in your heart. All right? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, he'll try and tell us you're going to fail. You're going to die. Don't listen to that one. So, you're going to lose everything. Don't listen to that. You're going to lose your job. Your kids are going to go to hell. They're going to end up on drugs. Don't believe that. Don't say, no, not my children. The seed of the righteous are blessed. Just stand on that. Simple word. The seed of the righteous are blessed. If they're blessed, then they're going on for God, aren't they? The seed of the righteous are blessed. My children are blessed. My grandchildren are blessed. My great-grandchildren are blessed. They walk in the blessings of God. They walk in the goodness of God. See, so you don't have to fear. There's nothing to fear at all. So when those fears come to your mind, what Satan wants now, wants them coming out your mouth. He's listening. He's listening to see if you're taking the bait. And that's so true. He's listening to hear what you're going to say, and then next minute he sees you starting to speak what he's put in your mind. He said, they've taken the bait. I tell you what, you better spit that bait out real quick. Hook, line and sinker. Spit it out your mouth. Don't allow the thoughts in your head come out your mouth. Because why? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we just don't listen to his lies and don't speak what he's telling you. Don't fall for his trickery. That's how he tricks us. And he gets us saying what he wants us to say, not what God wants us to say. Job said, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me." So he, you know, Satan was, he had gone to God. He said, I want to just see how strong this man is, remember? God said, okay, you could try it. And he got him believing his lies. Satan got him believing his lies. And Job said, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me." That's exactly what Satan wants. He wants the thoughts he's put in your head to come to pass in your life. Isn't that, that's how horrible he is. He's disgusting. The thoughts in your head, he wants them to come part of your life. He wants it to happen in your life. Just don't have it. Say, no, no, I'll not listen to that. I'll not receive that. I will not speak it. No. Just be so careful what you say. It's so important. You know, last week I talked about David, you know, of became King David. He was a youth with a cause. He had a cause to defend the honor of God's name and to fight against injustice and fight for righteousness, didn't he? And I just want to bring him up again because, man, there's so much you could bring out of that story. You know, people just have this idea, yeah, Goliath, David, a big Goliath, you know, a little slingshot. And they just, you know, he knocked him down. But there's so much in that. There's so much about David that we need to see. You know, that, so he, you know, the story comes down just to bring food to his brothers who are fighting in the armies of Israel. And they're in this big on a valley and they're on one side and on the other side is the Philistine army headed by Goliath. And but he's just come. His dad said, take food down. They'll need food down there. So he took food there. While he's there, you know, that stupid big mouth Goliath opened his mouth. Now, if he hadn't opened his mouth, you know, it might have been different for him. But he opened his big mouth and David heard it. He heard it and he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy about that. Now, all the armies of Israel have been listening to these words day after day after day, and they believed them. They forgot who they were. They were the armies of God. God was on their side. They were in covenant with God. And they listened to these uncircumcised Philistines putting fear into them, you know, threatening them. Come on, give me a man who will fight with me, and, you know, I'm going to throw them and kill them and let their bodies be eaten by the birds. And so they were putting fear. Give me a man, you useless bunch. You're not men. Give me a man, you know. And so he was putting all this fear into, and he had paralyzed, listen to this, paralyzed the whole army of Israel, paralyzed by fear. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to scream at you to paralyze you, that you feel, I can't do anything. You know, what can I do? I can't do anything. But along comes David. David, he's the man. He's a youth, but he's the man. He's somebody who loves God. He knows how great God is. He knows the covenant, that he's a covenant child of the living God, that he's in covenant with God Almighty, and you are too. Absolutely. In fact, you have Christ in you. He didn't have Christ in him, but he saw him. Do you remember he said, the Lord said to my Lord. Do you remember when he said that? The Lord said to my Lord. He must have seen him somehow. I mean, he had such a relationship with God. He saw into the future. And so, but we have Christ in us. He's the hope of glory. We have the powerful Holy Spirit. We have the powerful written word of God that we can get in our hearts and come out of our mouths. You know, so we don't have to fear. We should not fear. The body of Christ should not fear. We should fear nothing. Because Satan is defeated. He's a sniveling little thing. He really is. We get a bit scared about him. No, if you could see him, Jesus stripped him of all his glory, took from him the keys of hell, death, and the grave, and left him sniveling on the ground down in hell. Amen. That's my Jesus. He's my champion. And then he says, okay, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Yes. You have power over all the power of the enemy. When fear comes at you, you have power against the spirits of fear. When unbelief comes at you, you have power of that. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Amen? So God is good. So, you know, body of Christ needs to wake up to who they are. Needs to wake up that they are more powerful than the enemy. There's no one more powerful than you on this earth. That's the truth. Isn't that amazing? No one more powerful than you on the earth. You. Say me. Me. I am more powerful than the devil. Than any spirit of darkness. Because Christ is in me. He is my hope of glory. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I am filled with his power. Amen. Yeah. Does that make you feel better? Doesn't it make you feel better when you start to declare the word of God and declare who you are? You need to talk yourself up. Stop talking yourself down. Stop telling yourself you're just a worm or whatever. Don't whether you call yourself a worm. I don't know what you might call yourself. You're not worms. No. You're a children of God, daughters of God, sons of God. Wow. I tell you what, you're royalty. He said he makes us kings and priests unto his Lord. Isn't that amazing? You're royalty. You know, people should be bowing to you. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. Take a bow, yes. Yes, you should take a bow. You should say, you know, you should take a bow. Because you are worthy as a son and daughter of the Most High God. I always wander off away, but that's okay, isn't it? Okay, just hold on, see where I was. Always getting lost. No, I'm not lost. I'm found. I'm found. Thank you, Lord. I got found. I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm found in him. Isn't that awesome? I was found in Christ. Wow. Are you lost? No, I'm found. You're not lost. We're not lost. We're found. Hallelujah. Okay, so here we go. Oh, no. See? I'll try the water, Gary. See what happens. Okay, I don't know what this must sound like online. If you're listening online right now, it's the congregation just misbehaving here. Okay, let's get back to Goliath and David. So I love this David, don't you? You think he's fantastic? He's amazing. So here is Goliath. Now get a figure this out. He would be what, as tall as, probably the tallest up there? Yeah, he would be up there. Now, I'm picking that David, he wasn't a tall man. I would say he was about my size. Might be a little bit taller. No, about my size. Well, I've got high heels, so I'm saying he'll be my size. With heels on, no, if he didn't have his heels on. David didn't wear high heels, okay. With I'm wearing heels. So now, can you imagine? He's looking up at Goliath. Well, he's from a distance. Sorry, he's looking at Goliath. Here he is. He's got a helmet on of bronze. Bronze helmet on, a mail, not letters. You know, mail, metal. You know, mail cloak coat on, very heavy. Then he's got a bronze breastplate. He has got bronze things on his legs, it says. Bronze things on his legs. Protection on his legs. What else has he got? He's got, I would say, a sword in his sheath because he also has a javelin and a spear. And, you know, as if that's not enough, he has, in front of him, walking in front of him, is this man with a big shield. He doesn't carry his own shield. He wants his arms free for war. But in front of him, so here we have this guy this high, huge, and vile, very vile. You know, he worships Baal and those ungodly spirits. They were his gods. And he started cursing him, cursing David according to his gods, his useless, feeble gods. Evil, though, evil, evil. And cursing him. And, you know, David's, he's not intimidated at all. I love it. This is what I say. This young man was not fearful at all. Now, I think I might have been shaking in my boots just a little if I saw this massive guy there with the, all suited up. He's like a walking tank, literally, walking tank. And as if he needed more protection with this thing in front with the holding the shield, almost impenetrable. How are you going to get to him? You know, so the king Saul tried to suit him up in his armor and he had a go, but you, David's not very tall. Saul was very, very tall. He stood head and shoulders above everyone. So he looked ridiculous. David actually looked ridiculous in Saul's clothes. You know, if he had a male coat, it was dragging on the ground. And he tried it. He tried it on. He said, no, this is not going to work for me. He's going to put his trust in Almighty God. He's going to put his trust in the one he's always trusted before. He said, no, I'm not worried. You know, I've killed the bear and the lion, and this Philistine will be just like one of them. He wasn't intimidated at all. And so out he comes on the onto the what, ground, what out, where the battlefield, that's the word, battlefield. Rod, you should have known that. The battlefield. And he's all on his own, this young guy, youth, all on his own. Here's this massive, foul-mouthed, horrible thing, just saying, I defy the armies of the living God. Give me a man. And then he sees David come and says, you know, it's more like, you're a dog. Give me this. Is this, you call this a man? And he's got all this filthy stuff coming out of his mouth, all this cursing come out of his mouth. But remember one thing. A few days before this, or a while before this, not long before this, the prophet Samuel had come to David's house looking for a man that God wanted him to anoint to be king over Israel. And so all the seven handsome, tall, you know, brothers were brought in, and he saw Samuel would look and think, oh, this must be the one. And God said, no, not that one. So they went through all seven. It wasn't any of them. And yet God had told him to go there. He said, are there any others? Oh, yeah, just David, you know, little David out on the field with the sheep. Insignificant, silly little David. I mean, this is their attitude towards their brother. They never thought it could be David. Just the one, he's out with his father, the sheep, looking after sheep. He said, Samuel said, bring him to me. As soon as he saw him, God spoke, this is the man. This, anoint him with oil. This is the future king of Israel. And the Bible says he anointed him with this oil, and immediately the Spirit of God came on him, and it never left him. It said it never departed. And so here's this young guy, maybe 17, 18, comes to the battlefield full of the word, full of the understanding of the covenant he has. I've got a covenant, because he said, you uncircumcised Philistine, who are you to defy the armies of God? Uncircumcised. You have no covenant with the living God. And so there he is, coming towards him, this huge guy. What does he have? Pulls out a slingshot and a few stones. I mean, how stupid is that? Doesn't God take the silly things or the weaker things or whatever to confound the wise? Yeah, he takes the weak thing to confound the wise. You might think, who am I to be doing what I'm doing? Kathy, look at you. I mean, I won't tell you what she's doing. She's doing some amazing stuff right now, huge stuff to do with Christchurch. Little Kathy. Kathy. But God's using her and Rod, both of them, powerful ways. Little, you know, you might say, little me. No, powerful you. You don't know how God's going to use you. You don't know how he's using you even. You don't know how he's using you right now to bring change. And so then David rolls up, full of the covered and filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoa. He was powerful before that, but now he's even more powerful. He says, you come and you come to, you, let me just, if I don't know whether I wrote it down. Well, anyway. here we go. Yes. Yeah, so Goliath had said this, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And he cursed David by his gods and said, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David replied, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Oh, I love this guy. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Big head too. And this day I will give the carcasses of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. He threatened to do this to David, remember? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Can you hear his faith? No fear in that. Yelling that out across the battlefield there. You know, he's got these weapons. He's got great spiritual weapons. He's got the word of God. He knows about covenant. He's got the spirit of God. And, of course, you know the story. He runs up to him, towards him. He runs towards him, you know. Meet the enemy head on. When he comes at you, say, look here, devil. Look here. I won't tolerate this. Take him head on. Take him head on. Don't say, oh, I'll just better pray quietly over here. Hey, no. He's a bit deaf from hearing, a bit hard of hearing, you know. You know, just get a bit loud. Get stroppy. Anyway, so David has his weapons, but it really isn't just the slingshot and the stone. His weapons is faith in the word. His weapon is the covenant with Almighty God. His weapon is God Almighty backing him up and the host of heaven there. But he took that little stone and he fired it. Now, how is he going to, where the heck is he going to hit? He's covered all over. Little gap, little space here. I don't even know where the helmet had a nose, because often they had a nose thing. But whatever, when he fired that shot, it went zoop, up the helmet, bang in the forehead. And he crashed down, and then he runs up to him. Now, I assume by now, I don't know where the Philistines are, probably, they're so in shock. And he runs up to him, pulls out the sword, chops off his head, and lifts it up just like he said he would. Isn't that a great story? Isn't that... bit gruesome, isn't it? Yeah, but it's good, because that's the enemy. So whatever your Goliath is, take his head off. Chop his head off with the sword of the Spirit. You've got the shield of faith. You've got your helmet on. You look better than... Oh, you probably look as good as that. Better, maybe? I don't know. Look good. In the Spirit, you look good. If you're wearing all your armoury, you look great. And I tell you what, Satan's terrified. And, you know, you just fire the word at him, and the sword of the Spirit, and then chop off his head. I like that. I like that anyway. I like that. I like that whole idea. In other words, don't let the enemy push you around. If nothing else, don't let fear push you around. Stand on the word of God. Get some scriptures you can stand on. You can fight with them. Fight with those scriptures. Don't let the enemy bully you. He wants to bully you so you feel defeated and useless, but you're not. You're powerful and you're great and you're filled with God. You have his word in your heart. So you need to realize how powerful you are. You know, David fought and won based on a covenant which is actually not as good as our covenant. It says that we have a better covenant based on better promises. So we've even got a better covenant than he had. So isn't that amazing? I'm just nearing the end here, but Jesus said, therefore take, in Matthew 6:31, take no thought, fear thoughts, he's saying. What shall we eat? What am I going to do? What happens if this happens? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? He's just saying, you start questioning things. He says, don't take those negative thoughts and speak them. So why can't you speak them? Well, we've already answered that, really. But we've got an answer in Mark 11, 23. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Okay? So when you accept fear as fact, that is believing. And it drops into your heart, and you will have whatever you say. So watch it. Don't do that. You know, that's why you've got to deal with fear before it drops into your heart and before it's coming out your mouth, because you will have whatever you say. And he wants you to have the word in your heart, and then you can use that to speak out and bring to pass God's will and God's plans and purposes. So speak to fear, recognize it, and deal to it. Don't play around with it, honestly. Don't dwell on fear. Don't go to sleep on fear. That's the worst thing you can do. You know, you have these thoughts and you go to sleep. You know what happens when you sleep? Your mind processes things, drops into your heart. It drops into your soul. You know, soul is mind, spirit, your mind, will, and emotions. And it takes a hold down in there. Never go to sleep on fear. Before you go to sleep, Lord, I just loose all fear from my soul. I refuse to be fearful. I'm standing on this word. Make the last thing you think on is the word of God. If you're going through something, it's a tip. It's a tip from God. Okay. And we know the tongue, you know what it says about the tongue? A world of iniquity. It's a fire, a world of iniquity. And see how great a forest, just a little fire, can kindle. Hey, just a little spark can set off a huge forest. Isn't that amazing? A little word can do the same in our lives. Just a little word, little fear word, but it can start. Unless you stamp it out very quickly, it will then catch on and it can destroy a whole lot of things. So deal to fear immediately. Stamp on it. Stamp it out. Don't let it ignite further things. So speak to fear, recognize it, and deal to it. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee. He will flee. Not he might flee, he will. If you resist him, he will flee. And also, 2 Timothy 1:7, you have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind, and with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So we're here to fight the good fight of faith. And we're going to finish the race. We're going to run the course and we're going to finish the race. And be like Paul, we can say, I have kept the faith. Amen?
Amen.
So how about we just stand for a minute and we'll just pray something, loose something. Thank you, Lord. It's hot in here, isn't it? Is it hot? Feels hot. Okay. All right. Father, forgive me for believing Satan's lies. Forgive me for speaking his lies of fear and failure. Today I repent and I take power over the spirits of fear, and I strip it of its power to harm me. I loose all fear, all fear-filled thoughts and words from my soul. I refuse to fear. I choose to put my trust in you, Almighty God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I bind to my soul God's peace, hope, life, faith, soundness, and wholeness In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So you may be seated. If you want prayer, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, you've got to get to know him. If you're here and you don't know him, come and see me. But if you need prayer, we can pray with you. We'll be here for a little while to pray with you. And, otherwise, you can just go in and just enjoy some fellowship out in the cafe, talk to one another. We need one another in times like this. You know, we do. We need to encourage one another. That's what the body of Christ is meant to do, to be encouraging. Isn't that right? So go and encourage someone today. Go talk to someone you actually haven't talked to before. Wouldn't that be a surprise? It would do you good. Go talk to someone maybe you wouldn't normally go talk to. You might find you like them. Okay. Hey, guys. Okay, we love you. Anything I need to say? No. God bless you all. And if you want prayer, we'll be here for a few minutes and we'll pray with you. All right.